hope everything's going well there at OPAN. Look, Craig, just briefly, could you give us a background on what led you to OPAN, what you've been doing, and why you're there, and what your goals are at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So I started off my career in nursing. I worked as a nurse in the emergency department at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. And from there, went into health management and worked in the prison system in New South Wales, delivering the healthcare there across what was around about 35 prison locations. And I suppose that gave me an appetite for trying to get systems change and how to work between agencies. So very much it was working with the corrective services to try and influence change, but also working with a really vulnerable and marginalised group who really needed an overinvestment in their healthcare to be able to get the same outcomes as other people. From that, I went into consulting at one of the big four consulting firms, but really advising government around health practice and how to change systems. It led me to start up my own consulting business and to go on a few boards of not-for-profits because I wanted to try and impact change in society. And I ended up on the board of what is now the New South Wales member of the Older Persons Advocacy Network Seniors Rights Service.
Mm.
So it sort of was a circuitous journey to being on a board and then finding the passion for a different group of vulnerable people sometimes, not always, mm-hmm. but a group of people who I think absolutely deserve, as Australians and particularly veterans, deserve our respect and deserve equity of access in services as well.
Yes, yes, well said, Craig. And look, we'll get onto the veterans in just a moment, but I guess what is the basis? I mean, how important is it for older people to be heard and informed in a particularly new society for a lot of older people?
Yeah, so older people have been looking after their lives and running their lives for a very long time. And suddenly when we get to older age, there seems to be almost an inherent ageism in Australia that says, well, you can't do these things anymore for yourself, mm-hmm. or sidelining older people and making them invisible. We have this thing we talk about, the Charter of Aged Care Rights, which we at OPAN see ourselves as very much the custodians of, and this Charter of Aged Care Rights, which is kind of like a sword and a shield. But older people sort of say, oh, I don't want to make a fuss. I don't want to stand up for my rights, that sort of thing. And we're saying, no, you do need to be heard. You do need to actually raise issues. And that's what our organisation does, is help older people to raise their voices, to be heard, to be informed about their care and support services, and actually exercise choice and control. Because one of the things in the Charter of Aged Care Rights, when we talk about it with people, it's right number 7 that says, I have the right to my independence. And older people tell us that they want to maintain their independence. They want to live at home as long as possible. They want the same choices in life and still be part of the community, the village that they've been part of, and not to be sidelined. And we find too often that happens in Australian society, that older people seem to have to check their rights at the door when they start receiving aged care services or when they go into residential aged care. And we want a society that does the opposite to that. Respects older people, sees them, hears them, listens to them, and help older people to understand their rights and to exercise those rights as well.
Yeah, well said again, Craig. And I guess in some of the Western countries, Australia included, there does tend to be this attitude towards older people. I guess in some European countries and Japan, etc., the older people are perhaps more appreciated in some ways, but it's something, obviously OPAN is something that's very, very much needed in today's world. What, just briefly, the history of OPAN and I guess why its services are needed more than ever before.
Yeah, and just on that point, Greg, I mean, you're right, it's other cultures, but it is even in our own First Nations cultures, and the respect and the dignity that Aboriginal elders bring, their contribution that continues on, has been phenomenal. And we're only just coming to realise that now, unfortunately, to the loss of probably mainstream society, but it's older people in who are respected in other cultures overseas, but also in our First Nations. So why is OPAN needed? Unfortunately, not everything goes right when you're receiving a service such as aged care support or residential aged care. And so our services have been funded by the Commonwealth Government probably for about the last 30 years, but in little pockets to be providing individual information, education, and individual support to older people to be able to exercise their rights, as I talked about earlier, but also raise issues and get them resolved with an aged care provider. Things will go wrong, but there are ways, and our advocates can step in there and provide that support for someone to, we kind of describe it as walk beside someone so they can have their voice, walk behind someone to give them the skills so they can speak for themselves, or walk in front of someone when someone's just finding it's really too hard and they're worried about ramifications, which there shouldn't be under the charter, but there might be concerns about what's this going to do. Well, our advocates are there to protect people, to have those issues resolved. We see about 22,000 people each year and providing those individual advocacy support services. But it's really important that people know that our services are there, free, independent, confidential. And in 2017, we all came together under the banner of OPAN to effectively have a stronger voice to government and bring older people's voices further. So it's not just those individual issues, but we can say, this is what you need to do to fix the aged care system.
Yeah, it's very relevant and articulately put there too, Craig. I think the last post obviously deals with the wider community as well as veterans, but if we look at the veteran services to veterans, how does that go about? How does that work, and what success are you having in that field?
Yeah, so there's a groups of people, diverse populations, vulnerable groups that sit under the Aged Care Act. They're called special needs groups. It's interesting. I'm not quite sure why the special and the special needs, but it does mean that sometimes we need to think about service provision in a different way for these groups of people. So that's people from First Nations, culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, LGBTI, people who are socially disadvantaged or risk of homelessness, and veterans is part of that as well. So we see this as a core group that we need to engage with so that older veterans know that they've got the access to our individual support services, our information and education, the same as everyone else does. The good thing for veterans is that there are some other services out there under the Department of Veterans Affairs, DVA, that mean that sometimes they get more timely access than someone that hasn't got their gold card or white card sort of thing. So one of the things we've been doing is saying the Charter of Aged Care Rights applies to you as well, and we can help you navigate some of these additional resources and services that may be out there. We did some work with DVA talking about the range of services. It's on the OPAN website at opan.org.au that talks about those older veteran-specific services that are there and available, which mean you might not have to wait for home care on the waiting list as other people do. So veterans, reach out, get the services that you're entitled to as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for that too, Craig. And I guess that is a good thing to know for veterans. And I guess you've already answered the next question of mine, which was how do people access this? Go to the OPAN website and check it out, particularly veterans that follow the magazine and will listen to this. Do yourself a favour in regard to the right to safe and high quality care. And I guess that's the backbone of what OPAN does.
Yeah, and sometimes I can understand where there's particular groups who might have had traumatic experiences in the past or challenges dealing with and engaging with government services. So our advocates are there, free, confidential, independent of aged care providers. They're there to provide you information and support so you can navigate that system, which can understand sometimes can be quite confusing, but also can be quite frustrating to engage with. So our navigators and advocates are there to help older veterans as well. And we just see that it's such an important group of people, of older Australians who do need targeted, focused information and support for what they've given to the Australian community over many, many decades, and have the right to access those entitlements as best as they can.
That's right. And you bring up that point again of the service to community that comes with the years for a lot of elderly Australians or older people, shall we say, that have serviced the community. And it is an honourable way of assisting those that have assisted the community during their years. And I suppose, Craig, on that note, the importance of staying connected for older people, and I guess friends may die, children move away, obviously, and there can be a strain on the ability to stay connected. How do you help in that area?
Yeah, and Greg, we saw so much of that during COVID and still unfortunately going on as people went to bunker, went to ground, quite rightly so, to stay away from the virus. But it is time to reconnect back into community, to go to those groups, to go to the RSL, to connect with the ex-services organisations, to be back in volunteering. So we point people to the Community Visitor Scheme, which is a great opportunity to build relationships. We partnered with the ABC around their Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds program. That's right. You've got these many, many young trainers, basically, who are going, come on, Didi, you can do this. Getting people out there and encouraging them. And particularly coming into winter. But look, it's so important. That's the thing that's going to keep us independent. But then accessing the services that are available, which will keep people active and help, I suppose, it's kind of that rehabilitation light type approach, which says that if we keep moving, we keep active, we'll actually stay in our homes longer, we'll stay independent longer, and there's services that are available to help people do that. Plus there's these networks out there, which is just, it's so important that we look after the people in our village and in our street and make sure that we're checking in on them. And veterans have been doing that for years, particularly through the RSLs and ex-services organisations.
Yeah, that's true too, Craig. And what are the dangers of social isolation, mental health, etc.?
Oh, massive. It's actually been scientifically investigated that it's actually as bad as smoking. And it increases the risk of diabetes, it increases the risk of heart disease, and also increases the social and psychological impacts. And some of the people who were in the last year's series of Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds were just saying they didn't realise how much, and particularly during, that was filmed during COVID, how much they were just sitting at home isolated and just, it might have been a phone call, but there was nothing like having that coffee with someone down the street and connecting in and having a face-to-face conversation. And so we're really encouraging people to get back active again, to talk to some of the counselling services that are available if people are having a bit of a rough time as well, or don't know quite how to get back into being active and engaged. There's stuff on our website as well around all the different opportunities there are around staying connected in your community.
Yeah. Well, Craig, look, thank you so much for giving us listeners and readers a chance to look into the background of not only yourself, but the history of OPAN and also what's available to older people out there through OPAN and its network to assist in a longer, happier life and an independent life too. So we thank you very much for that, Craig, and look forward
Absolutely. And I'll give you one plug of our telephone number if anyone wants to contact us. Please. It's a really easy number to remember, 1-800-700-600. So 876, 1-800-700-600.
1-800-700-600, that's OPAN, and they'll be looking after you and giving you ways of improving your quality of life. So thanks once again, Craig.
You're welcome, anytime.